let's rip this bandage off. Hello, and welcome to the ADHD Deep Dive, the show that's not about ADHD, but is filled with proof it exists. It's been a month since I've said that. My name is David J. Mund, the host of the ADHD Deep Dive. And man, what a little break that was, huh? That was quite the time. If you're new here, wow, what a strange first episode to join into. I just took about a month and a week break because I was one sad little bald boy and I needed time to not talk about it. Do you see yourself, by the way? If you're watching the video version, I'm controlling it from my phone so you can kind of see. Whatever. I don't need to talk about that. There you go. This is why it's the ADHD Deep Dive, the show that's not about ADHD, but is filled with proof it exists. Did I already say that my name is David J. Mund? Because that's me. Man. I'm a little nervous right now. I haven't been this nervous to podcast in quite some time. To just super quickly address the elephant in the room. And by that, even though I mean Judah, I'm not calling her the elephant in the room, although she is right behind me. And you can probably hear Gus whistle breathing right now because he's just a loud breather. Anyways, when last we spoke, Judah was quite ill. Well, not ill. Just a quick recap. My dog, Judah, my dachshund corgi Judah of about 11 years, one day started limping. And when I felt under her arm, I felt a massive lump. Took her into the doctor or the vet, who confirmed that it was a cancerous tumor that needed to go. Okay? So essentially, procedural costs were going to be about $2,000. I put out a little GoFundMe type thing to fund it, and whatever I didn't make, I was going to cover the rest. I ended up having about $1,200 donated to me. So if you're listening and you were a part of that, I do not think I could be more grateful for you, truly and genuinely. Like, that was so kind, so compassionate, so selfless, and I'm just extremely grateful. That said, so it's time, surgery. Let's get this thing, let's scoop it out of her. I have my whining and my crying and my coping, and for a few weeks beforehand, I got Judah a stroller so she wasn't using that leg. I was pushing her around everywhere in that stroller. I wasn't letting her go up and down the stairs. She was just being extremely tended to. She was on a pain medication that kind of made her loopy, which I did not love. Hang on. I think this shot is perhaps a little cool. Whatever. We'll fix it in post. I hate that I even just said that. You shouldn't just say, whatever. We'll fix it in post. All right. I know this part isn't about cinematography and photography, and even though that's kind of adjacent to my career, that's not what we're talking about, but still. Always try to get it right in camera first. Continuing on. So I have this lovely day planned out with Gus, my other dog, who's old as shit. And every time I say his age, I feel like I make it younger or older. He's about... How old are you, bro? He didn't answer. Freaking 12, 13, 14? In the 12 to 14 range. Because when I adopted him, whatever. I've talked about this shit on the podcast before. Let's talk about the shit I haven't talked about. Judah, the surgery. I go to have my little sweet day with Gus. And I expect it to be like a 3-hour surgery. And then she's going to be recovering for a few hours. And then I pick her up at the end of the day. So I drop her off at like 8 in the morning. I go to a park around the corner with Gus. Maybe a half hour later, I get a call from the vet. They're like, hey, we've got a problem. Which is not exactly what you want to hear. Not even close to what I want to hear. And they said, now, again, putting the costs out there, it was about $2,000, give or take, for the whole thing. So they end up telling me that they did all her vitals and all that stuff. They did a lot of the pre-surgery, whatever you gotta do, biopsies and bullshit. And right before surgery, like right before surgery, they discover a heart murmur. Yeah, they discover a heart murmur. Have I talked about this on the freaking podcast? I've told so many people that I feel like before I took the break, maybe I talked about this. Yeah, maybe I just talked about this part. Anyways, they discovered a heart murmur, so she was not able to have the surgery. I still ended up having to pay about $500 or $600 for all the pre-surgery costs. I could have easily thrown a huge temper tantrum about that because, like, why am I paying that much for nothing? I mean, really, it was nothing. They did nothing. Anyways, and then I schedule an appointment with a cardiologist. When I schedule the appointment with the cardiologist, I get told that that's probably going to cost about $500-$600. So now I'm closing in on the amount that has been donated to me. Actually, I think whatever the overall cost of going into the vet was, I ended up paying out of my own pocket like $50, $50 to $100, because the funds that had been used or donated had been used for all of this stuff, which, again, to reiterate, unendingly grateful for. Now, the cardiologist not only says, bro, she's good. Like, she's fine. Like, there's a little bit of a heart murmur, given that she's 11 years old, 10 or 11-ish. Fuck, what is time, bro? Anyways, given that she's that old, it's not incredibly uncommon. We would say, go ahead with the surgery. However, we did a little feeling on our own, this being the cardiologist. He said, first of all, right now, like walking around the office, and for honestly a few days, she wasn't limping. Like the mass is there for sure. And it's still there, to be clear. To spoil the ending of the story, Judah has not yet had her surgery even still. Because that cardiologist was like, our understanding, even though we only specialize in cardiology, so we can't give you like a definitive answer, is that the way that this feels, this is not a cancerous tumor. And when you do a biopsy, like, it's not going to come back like on a scale of 1 to 10, how much cancer do you have? I mean, it is. Like, the cancerous cells could have spread and infected more parts of the body. But he's like, with her age, her height, her type of breed, if it's not actually affecting her day-to-day, which it, at this point is not, it was very aggressive when it first started. And I think it did come on very quickly. I had never felt that. And I'm rubbing and petting on them all day long, every day. So when I discovered it, that was me feeling like, why are you limping? Holy shit, there's this giant thing in your arm. That must be why. Do they come on overnight? No, right? Right? Either way, the public funding for Judah had dried up at that point. And I was so upset and angry, to be honest. And I felt like I had been gaslit by the vet initially to believe, like, you must do this surgery now. Now, they were kind. They weren't like, you're a piece of shit dog, dad, if you don't. But it's a vibes thing, right? Like, their attitude was like, you're going to want to do this. And then when I called them, after the fact, after I heard back from the cardiologist, it's like, so the cardiologist said this, this, and this. She's cleared. But he also said this. And they basically went, yeah, that could be the case. I was like, well, why did you tell me it was so urgent? And they go, well, we just try to be real with you about the possibility, which I understand. Like, you don't want to, I get that if there are cancerous cells in Judah right now, that those cancerous cells could spread. But she's an old-ish dog. And I'm not saying, like, let the cancer take her, lady. Because it will devastate me the day that either of my dogs go. But the way that the cardiologist set it up was like, yeah, but the recovery is going to be terrible or rough in general for her. Because, I mean, she's a freaking dog. She's going to piss all over herself for a little while because she's not going to be able to walk. It's surgery right under her arm. So they'd have to, like, freaking, I don't know, man. I don't know, dude. The main point is I wanted to at least update you guys on the situation. I think this freaking light is way too bluish. I don't know. I'm so colorblind. I know that technically this is a blue shirt. And I think according to my little remote, that is a red light behind me. And I have a white light bouncing off a white door. So it's a little bit softer on me, but I think that light was a little bit blue, so I warmed that up a little bit. And if you're just listening, friggin' whatever, lights don't matter. Lights aren't real. Okay, well, there's your update. Now, where do we go from here, David? Now, I'm not asking myself that. I'm not David asking myself that. I'm you asking me that. You being the listener, which could be me also in the future, because I do listen to my episodes to make sure that there were no audio issues or anything, which is kind of annoying because that makes me believe that my own podcast is going to be in my Spotify Wrapped, which makes me look like a huge narcissist because it's like, what are you doing, listening to your own podcast? And yes, I am. I don't find myself particularly entertaining in that way. But I do like listen on Spotify to make sure that, like, I don't know, there were no issues. Whatever. I don't need to justify myself. I'm a creative, okay? I don't need to explain my art to you. I am, however, going to clip the camera real fast so I can make sure that everything is working as intended, because it has been a while since I've done this podcast after all. All right. We're back. So, when I say, where do we go from here? Yes, I kind of mean that in the sense that, like, I'm lost. What do I talk about? And I did actually put down some notes that I probably should discuss. But it's more about, like, what does this podcast... Whoa, bro, sit still. He's jingling around back there. Oh, let me take a little glimpse. There's my Gus boy, just chilling in the chair. If you were interested, he's in the recliner behind me, and then Judah is off to the side. And yes, I'm wearing shorts. Look at my knees. Where do we go from here with the podcast in general? So some of my favorite podcasts that I listen to are comedy podcasts. I listen to them because I need a little dose of laughter in my day-to-day. And while I do know that from time to time, why is this door just freaking moving? I do know that from time to time, me ranting and raving about something will end up, I'll say something funny, right? You'll get a little chuckle out of it. Ha ha ha, David. But overall, this podcast is not a funny podcast. I don't know that I'd consider it an entertaining podcast. But I also don't know that I consider it like a self-help podcast or whatever. So far, it's been me talking to a lot of my creative friends about the similarities in creative pursuits and how we're all dealing with imposter syndrome. And I feel that by having my friends on and people that I know directly, even though I am a fan of their work and I wouldn't, you know, I respect their art second to our friendship, like the relationship that I have to these people, but they're not, like, you know, massive celebrities or anything like that. So I feel like I am able to offer a space for guests who wouldn't otherwise be pursuing talking about their art rather than just making their art. I provide that space for them, and I love that. But also, there is that tinge of soft narcissism in me where I just want to talk. I just want to talk, and I want you to listen. That's it. I understand that there's a give and a take, and like I have to offer something to the audience in order for them to engage with me and listen. Like, why would... And so the reason that I am where I am is because I feel as though... Hey, Judah. Hey, knock it off. I feel as though I'm just a whiny little baby on camera, and that's about it. And to my friends and loved ones who are listening, not just, you know, listeners of the podcast, but to my friends and loved ones, I imagine that the first response innately, just like it would be for me if I heard somebody else say this, and again, I genuinely appreciate you for feeling this way, but you're like, oh no, David, you're doing fine. I listen because I support you no matter what. And I love you for that. But an audience isn't always, at first, people who just support you no matter what. Well, I mean, at first it is people who support you no matter what. But there's this middle chunk, because towards the end, I don't mean towards the end, but when things are at their best, my belief is that a creative medium is thriving when its audience is the people who support the artist first and then the art. Like, let me put it this way. Taylor Swift, she's in the news. She's always in the news. Now, Swifties get a knock for being freaking crazy. Crazy. I don't mean you specifically if you're a Swiftie, but they do get lumped in with the word crazy. But you cannot argue that these people aren't devoted to Taylor Swift, right? Now, do I want people obsessed with me, following me around everywhere I go at every single turn, eliminating the ability for me to have a private conversation or a private interaction or go somewhere where people don't know that I'm there? No, I do not want that. But that's sort of the difference between, like, I don't know, maybe Taylor Swift was a terrible example. I just mean that people are, no matter what Taylor does, they're about it. Taylor could write a terrible song and have a little oopsie publicly, but her fans are like, no, Taylor, we love you, and we get it. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days. No, that's Miley Cyrus, right? I don't remember. Whatever. What I'm trying to say is, what I learned in boating school today is blankety, blankety, blank. Shit, what am I trying to say? I think I'm trying to say that at first, audiences are just friends and family. Then when they hit their stride, it's like anybody who could possibly see what they're putting out, like especially in the age of the internet, if I put something out there, anybody can see it. They can like one thing, hate another, like another thing, hate five more things. And then they're like, I've decided this guy's not for me. Then after enough time, pretty much the only people that are engaging with that type of particular type of content or my content in general are like, I am just watching David's content because David has earned my trust creatively over the years or months or whatever, X amount of creative projects, for me to just be like, I believe that he's good at what he does. Even if he comes out with something shit, I'm going to engage. That's what I mean. That's what I meant to say. Is it's people who love you only at first. Then it's everybody. Then pretty much it's only people that love you. Even though, yeah, haters and whatever are out there, but they don't listen to your stuff or watch your stuff or engage with your content. They just pop into the comments and say, fuck you, Baldy. Or some variation of that. They exist. Or go die. Something like that. I don't know. That was... It does happen. It's the internet. We get it. So what I'm trying to say is I don't know how to hit that middle stage so that I can get to that third stage. Because first stage, I'm in right now. And to the people listening, you are a part of that. You are the reason for that. And I could not do this stage without you. But what is the next stage for me, for this podcast? Is there a stage for this podcast, or is it just my personhood, my personality that moves on to the next stages and then the podcast follows behind? Because things we'll talk about, per the poster in the background and my wallpaper and my hat and the shirt that I'm wearing, I'm doing a bunch of other things. Music. Midwest Skies is, how do I even say it? I mean, we're writing, personally, this is maybe a selfish take, excuse me, some original Tay-Zonde. I lean away from the microphone to breathe. What am I saying? Music, Midwest Skies, we're making great shit. I was a fan of them. I said this before. I was a fan of them long before I joined them. But selfishly, I now believe that we are writing the best Midwest Guys music to have existed. I mean, this paper right here is just a nostalgia trip in and of itself. This is the original. Well, this is a newspaper clipping from the first ever reunion concert that I had with Live For Tomorrow, when we called it the We Survived the Apocalypse show. It was right after 12/21/12, when everyone thought, quote unquote, the world was supposed to end or whatever. Obviously it didn't. So this was the We Survived the Apocalypse show. And that's just there because I want to commemorate the fact that I'm fucking friends with the guys again. I know on some of the last few podcasts, there was conversation about the anticipation of once again, like, sharing the stage with Live For Tomorrow, my old band, the band that started in my basement when I was like 13 years old, 12, whatever, that is now going on to newer and greater heights. But when I quit, I just thought, well, there goes those friendships, there goes those guys. There goes music, there goes drums, there goes all of it. And recently I played with Midwest Skies, played a show with Live For Tomorrow, and even got to hop up there and sing with the guys. And then I brought some of the guys up with Midwest Skies to sing a cover of The Anthem by Good Charlotte. So in that regard, like, I'm at a good point in my life. Like, I am healing friendships. I am letting go of old wounds. I'm still engaging in fucking drama because I can't help it. Especially when it comes to Midwest Skies. I love these guys so much and I love what we're doing here. I'm just not good at being in a band and disagreeing with someone. That's why I quit Live For Tomorrow. I was just always so confrontational and I couldn't take a no. And this is a me problem, just to be clear. But that's just where my head's at. Like, I find myself getting offended a lot if, like, my ideas are turned down or my feelings get hurt. Even if we're all just, like, friendly ribbing, I find myself being like, whoa, that's too far. Stop it. And then I turn around and, like, verbally punch them. So I'm working through that. I've done a lot of growth when it comes to my rage since being a child. But it is still there. It is. Whether I want to admit it or not, it's there. And there are many reasons behind that that I still don't feel particularly comfortable talking about on camera. But at some point, these are things I have talked about in therapy. So it's still like I have the tools to solve this issue. I'm just not using them as often as I should. Instead of hammering a nail into a wall, I'm just punching it. Except I'm not punching walls. I'm not doing that. I did do that when I was a kid. And man, what an asshole. Oh God, I think about that. Just being angry at my mom. And like going into my room and raging and punching a hole in my wall. And then being so pissed off at me. And I'm like, what? It's my room. They're like, in our fucking house that we pay for, you piece of shit. My parents do love me, and they did love me then. They, man. I don't know how I would handle that. This is just one of those reasons that I know that I am not qualified to have children. I don't want them because of that. I don't feel guilt or shame. Well, I do. I don't feel sad about the fact that I don't want kids, at the very least. Because I know that I am not qualified. And like there is this sentiment that like nobody's ready, buddy. Everybody thinks that they're going to be ready to have a kid and then nobody is. But some people are. Right? Like some people are more qualified to have kids. And like, can a kid who grows up in poverty be just as happy as a kid who grows up with money? Yes. Can a kid who grows up with money be just as sad as a kid who has no money? Yes. However, the clear advantage is it if you have parents who have done the self work, their own internal work, who have a little bit more financial security, who have the capacity to love their child and love each other no matter what. Yeah, that's gonna set that kid up for a better life than two parents who hooked up and hated each other and fought all the time and, you know. Where was I going with this? Welcome to the ADHD Deep Dive, the show that's not about ADHD, but is filled with proof it exists. So yeah, rage. That's what I'm talking about. Rage against the dying of the light. I rage just 'cause sometimes. I don't know. Now, the thing I am getting better at, even though it is still kind of manipulative and gaslighty and rude and annoying, is that when I am a dick, I am now apologizing faster rather than being like, oh, I really needed to think on that for a few days. Yeah, now upon reflection, I was being an asshole. Now it's like, fuck you. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I was being mean. I hate you. No, I don't. I am very upset with myself and I'm taking it out on you. I quit. Please don't let me quit. Please, please, please. I was just speaking out of nowhere. Please, please. Okay, cool. That's what I mean. That's gaslighty. Nah, I don't mean that's... Well, maybe it is. Maybe there's this built-in expectation that like, you're good with your words, David. People are going to forgive you and then all is well. And then I just believe internally that I can hurt people or hurt people's feelings or... Just because I know I'll be forgiven. They know I don't mean it. And which I don't. I don't mean it. But just to be clear, everything I just said right there, like I'm not proud of. It makes me feel gross. And which is why when those apologies come in, it is sincere. It's like, man, I am being an asshole. I'm so sorry. But like, at the end of the day, it is not there. And I don't just mean the band. I mean other people around me whose feelings I hurt. It's not on them just because I ask for forgiveness doesn't mean they got to give it to me. And like the forgive versus forget, like, you know, I don't believe that I am, nor do I have any evidence to back up, I guess, whether, I don't know how I'm trying to say this. Let me just throw it out there. I am not bipolar. I don't think. There's no reason to believe that I am bipolar. There's been discussions of borderline personality disorder and definitely ADHD, certainly OCD, depression and anxiety underneath of that. All of those anagrams, acronyms, what am I looking for? What sort of looking for? All of those afflictions or whatever that's happening to me, they stack on top of each other and they make me a crazy person sometimes. Am I technically bipolar? No, I don't think so. If I were, and I enter a friend group or a circle or a relationship without immediately making that obvious, and it has to be discovered over time, and it's only discovered when I have a personality shift towards being a vindictive, cold, mean asshole. Even though, yeah, if my group of friends decides, I don't think we can hang out with David anymore. It's too toxic and it hurts me too much. Even though that would hurt my feelings. It's like they have the right to do that. People have the right to cut you out of their life. And it hurts sometimes. Trust me. I've been not just in relationships where I've been told, like, I love you more than anything, but like, you can't keep doing this. And so I have to go. You know, that's happened. Same thing with friendships. Like, dude, all you do is get offended, or you take things personally, or you feel as though we're coming after you, and we're just not. Like, I create these scenarios in my head where I'm like, well, here we go. These people hate me now. So it's time to put these walls up and let me hurt them before they hurt me. And then when I hurt them, I realize they didn't even hurt me. I just worked myself up to believe I was hurt by them. I could be hurt, but it wasn't them. And I feel like they have a right to just be like, okay, dude, like, we got to go. We got to move beyond you. And again, I don't just mean the band, or I just mean anybody in general. So that's where I've been at kind of the last month, is just thinking about everything. It's like, okay, where do I go now that things are taking off a little bit in a different direction with Midwest skies? Where do I go with that? Where does that go? I have a lot of anxiety about, like, is this going to take us to X heights, or do we coast at this level, or is there a crash coming, or like, and then when it comes to, like, in my friendship with Live for Tomorrow, like, it has ebbed and flowed and bobbed and weaved and done, you know, whatever. There's been separations as friends, and then reunions as friends, and then separations as the band, and then reunions as the band, but then the band breaks up, and then I'm only friends with this many people, and now the band stays together, and they're all friends, but I'm only friends with X amount of people. And then when it comes to film and photography, I don't think I've done a third as much cinematography and photography gigs, like paying jobs, in 2023 as I did in 2022. That bums me out a little bit, because then I'm still on the supplemental? Oh shit, I can't think. I'm on the side gigs of, like, whatever I can do. I'm hosting trivia everywhere. I'm doing this thing called music bingo. Then you got the acting things, then the delivery gigs, like whatever I can do at any point to get money. Except not that, you prude. You freak. I just tried to wink at the camera and I just blinked. Anyways. Okay. You know what? here's where we go. In the future, we stay in the now. How do you like that? Do you get what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say is the goal for this podcast is to just do it. Rather than worry about what I'm supposed to be. And same thing with music and cinematography. Oh yeah, when I was talking about cinematography and photography, I mean film work as well. We did Penelope, which if you haven't seen, please, I'm desperately begging you to watch the short film that I made with Nikolai Van Steenis. You can find him on social media at Lifer Visuals, LYFER Visuals, Lifer Visuals. But we're working on the next one right now. It is in, the script is being written out. I threw out a concept to my buddy George, who has been on this podcast, George Despotis. He is now typing up a script, which I believe he just texted me. He texted me last night that it's done. So I'm going to read it soon. And then I'll make my revisions to whatever course correct if I feel like it's off from my original vision that I pitched to him. Or I sit back and I say, this is better than I wanted to do anyways. And then he'll make some more revisions. And then when it gets back to me, Nikolai and I will read it together because I believe that Nikolai is again going to be the cinematographer. And I'm going to direct this one a little bit. Well, I'm going to just more focus on directing this one rather than acting in it. And then this one, I believe, is going to have a cast. But this is a big team effort. So I'm like panicking about all that shit on top of the podcast and Midwest Skies and income. I'm yelling and I'm sorry. What I'm trying to say is that I would like to be more present these days. I have not been active in my meditation or yoga to the same discipline that I had. It was an every single day thing for almost a year and a half. And then I was like, how about I do it like twice a week now? And I'm out of my head because it's not just about the exercise. It is about the breathing for me. The exercise is huge, says the 15 pounds that I've put on this year. Let me tell you, it's rough. I'm trying to kick it back. Whatever. All that aside, even that, I got to just stop worrying about what could happen, what the next thing is going to be, and focus more on the fact that I get to do these things. And maybe that's like an easy cop out, like, you just got to be appreciative, man. But I am trying to be more appreciative. I'm trying to concede to the fact that even though I'm a grumpy boy and I disagree with the adults in the room sometimes, I get to have a seat at the table. Like, I'm drumming again in a band that I was a fan of, and I'm writing music that means something to me. I'm doing a podcast where if even it's 10 to 15 people, even though I know there are more, oftentimes, but sometimes that's it. You're listening because you love me. I think that was an assumption, I suppose. And even though I'm stressed about my dogs and what life is going to be like in the future for them, if a life at all, I have them now. They love me now. If I don't get to do this next film, I did a really cool thing. I made a really cool short film. I'm just trying to be more present. And I don't think that's a complicated process to explain. So you get it. With that, I think that's probably good for the day. That was a good little podcast back. First podcast back. I do intend to have guests again going forward. With the occasional solo episode. Maybe even the next one will be a solo episode. I don't know. I don't want to recommend anything. I don't want to suggest you go anywhere, make any plugs, do anything. You can do those things. I have talked about them throughout the episode, so you know where to go if you want to engage in that type of stuff. All I want to do right now is just thank you for being here now. Even if you're not here next time, or if you weren't here the first time or last time, you're here now. If you have ever listened to Midwest Skies, you got me. At some point, you are in some way directly responsible for me being a fan of them in the first place, or rather, you're because they got elevated because people like them, that brought me to a point where I could be in the band. I'm not going to go step by step. You get what I'm trying to say. Thank you. I love you. And I believe that it is true when I say that I will see you next week. But for now, again, thank you for being here this week. And how do you sign off? I love you. And goodbye.